familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
While the World Health Organization recommends exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months and up to 2 years with complementary foods, many women and health professionals are unclear about the benefits of breastfeeding a child past 1 year. I'm Rose Davinia Jackowitz, a lactation consultant at the outpatient clinic at Kaiser Permanente in San Diego, California. Today we will be discussing the benefits of breastfeeding a child past 1 year. This is The Boob Group, Episode 3.
Breast milk, it does a baby good.
Silly daddy, boobs are for babies.
I make milk. What's your superpower?
If my breastfeeding offends you, put a blanket over your head.
Dairy diva.
Don't be lactose intolerant.
Nursing nature's own breast enhancement.
Meals on heels.
Whoever said there's no use crying over spilled milk never had to pump.
Breast milk. All udders are inferior.
Whatever your point of view, we're here to support your breastfeeding goals. We're the Boob Group, because mothers know breast.
Welcome to The Boob Group, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm your host, Robin Kaplan. I'm also a certified lactation consultant and owner of the San Diego Breastfeeding Center. The Boob Group is your online support group for all things related to breastfeeding. Visit our website at theboobgroup.com for more information on how you can become part of our show. You can join our conversation by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. You can also send us comments or suggestions through the contact link on our website or call the Boob Group hotline at 619-866-4775. Today we're joined by our expert Rose Davinia Jackowitz and three fabulous breastfeeding moms here in the studio. Ladies, will you introduce yourselves?
Sure. Hello, I'm Noreen Ibarra. I am 36. I teach writing at the university level. I have one child, and he's 51 weeks, and in a week, I will see if I am going to continue doing this thing after this episode.
I'm LaShawn Everett. I'm 29. I'm a registered nurse and student nurse midwife. I have one child, Elliot, and he is 17 months.
I'm Veronica Alvarez-Grajeda. I'm 33 years old. I'm a school administrator, and I have one daughter who's 13 months, and I'm still breastfeeding her.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
Before we get started with today's topic, here's a question you all had for one of our experts.
Hi, Boob Group. This is Karen, and I'm calling from Colorado. My daughter is 4 months old, and I'm exclusively breastfeeding her. I just went back to work part-time about 2 weeks ago, and she's been refusing to drink my breast milk from the bottle, which is causing a lot of stress. After listening to your episode about babies that refuse the bottle, I went and smelled my refrigerated breast milk, and I think I have the excess lipase one of your panelists was describing. Can the lactation consultant recommend how to scald my milk? Can I do this at work? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thanks so much.
Hi, Karen. Thanks so much for your call.
There are actually many reasons why your milk may smell sour. First, what are you storing your milk in? Sometimes the breast milk storage bags can let in smells from the freezer, which may make your milk smell less than desirable. Try storing in airtight glass containers and see if this helps. Also, store your milk in the back of the freezer rather than the door so that the milk doesn't defrost as the freezer door stays open. Another reason your milk may smell sour is that there may actually be excess lipase in your breast milk. Lipase is a beneficial enzyme found in breast milk that helps break down your milk fat. If your breast milk has excess lipase, the longer the milk is stored, the stronger the smell becomes. The milk is totally safe for your baby to consume, but some babies may reject the milk because of its strong scent and change in flavor. To break the cycle of the excess lipase, you can scald your milk after you express it so that you can store it and use it at a later date. I have known a few moms who have actually kept a bottle warmer in their office when they return to work. Once they pump their milk, they place it in an open glass jar. Then they place this jar in a bottle warmer and scald their milk. Then they pour the milk into a plastic breast milk storage bag or a plastic bottle, since the glass jar may actually break when it's quickly cooled. And then they take their milk in the bag or the bottle and they put it either into an ice bath or directly into the freezer. There is a great resource online, which can be found on a blog called Simply Rebecca, which discusses scalding milk to get rid of excess lipase. Also, for a more detailed explanation of excess lipase, you can check out Kelly Mom's article, My Express Breast Milk Doesn't Smell Fresh. Hopefully that helps, Karen. Thanks for your call.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Today on The Boob Group, we're discussing the multiple benefits of breastfeeding your child past 1 year. Our expert, Rose Davinia Jackowitz, has been an international board-certified lactation consultant since 1984 and runs the outpatient lactation clinic at Kaiser Permanente in San Diego, California. Rose, welcome to the show and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me here.
Sure. So, Rose, can you tell us what are some nutritional benefits of nursing a baby older than 1 year?
Well, there's many nutritional benefits. In fact, it's a myth that mother's milk becomes less nutritious after a year. Very often I'll have a mom ask me about weaning at a year because she's told that there's no benefits. In fact, one mother said, why is there benefits at 11 months, but suddenly there's no benefits at 12? What changes in that month? Mother's milk continues to provide substantial amounts of nutrition. Breast milk was never designed to be the exclusive feeding method for a baby after 6 to 8 months of life. Complementary foods is expected. But the immunities in mother's milk actually have been found to increase after a year and even toward 2 years. And when baby begins to wean, it's like the body's preparing this baby for other foods and going to daycare and being exposed. So the infection-fighting properties increase in mother's milk. But it's a complete, as far as vitamins and minerals and things like that, mother's milk has everything in it, even after a year. It's not just in the first 6 months of life.
What would you say the emotional benefits are as well for mom and for baby?
I asked a group of women the other day, what are the benefits of nursing long term? Because I said, I'm going to be here talking to some other mothers. And they said, well, you're right there. If your little one falls, gets hurt, if they're sick. In fact, a lot of studies have found that breastfed babies, when they're nursed longer, they're actually much more emotionally sound, and you actually have more outgoing toddlers, more socially aware, and they begin to be more curious. They're not clingy children. And that's a myth that if you breastfeed long term, you're going to have a very whiny, clinging child. And it's actually the exact opposite in most situations.
That's really interesting. Have you noticed that, ladies, with nursing your children that are at least almost a year or over a year?
Today, as a matter of fact, my daughter has been under the weather for a few days, and she has been wanting to nurse quite a bit. And it's amazing. She's 13 months. I sort of, after a year, had this thing like, okay, well, we'll just see where she goes. We'll see how it works. We'll see if we stop. And we didn't stop. We haven't stopped yet. But I think it sort of goes and it ebbs and flows. And right now we're in a major flow where she's, her body is telling her, you need to nurse. And luckily my body is fine with that. And I think that it's providing kind of like the antibodies or whatever to make her feel better. But also it's super comforting to her, like just being held and being close. And it's comforting to me too, because I want to take care of her and make everything better.
Toddlerhood is a really tough time because they're, a number one word that toddlers are hearing is, no, don't touch that. No, don't. You know, they want to explore. They want to do things. And mom is kind of that anchor. If they go out and explore their environment and suddenly get, you know, they know they can always come back to mom. So it's a very special relationship between mom and baby during that time, and helps them to be more outgoing, not less outgoing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what a lot of women's fears are, is that, you know, we hear that, well, we're spoiling our child, or we're making them too dependent on us as parents. But they're dependent on us anyway. I mean, they are for many, many, many years past toddlerhood. But the fact that, I've read that as well, that many children who do breastfeed for an extended period of time, longer than the 6 months, longer than the year, sometimes longer than two, they are the ones that are more outgoing and more self-confident, which is, again, kind of breaks that myth of that not being the case. LaShawn, what do you notice with your son?
Well, I only have him to compare. But he is all over the place, and he definitely is very confident and very busy. I never was really sure when I first started breastfeeding how long I would go for, but I honestly have no intentions of stopping anytime soon, because, I mean, for him more so now, it's just more of a comfort thing, and to be able to provide him that is fabulous. And it gives us time to just bond and cuddle. And but yeah, like I said, I definitely feel that he's very outgoing, very busy.
I want to speak to the emotional benefits for a mother. I just started working part-time, and I'm getting emotional now. I don't know if it's also coming at a time where he's on the verge of walking, and I understand they're clingy and they feed more when they're walking. During this transition, I'm nervous. I'm leaving him with my parents, and they're learning to take care of him more often. And unfortunately, it's a clingy time. And so that time where I breastfeed him before I leave, and then I breastfeed him as soon as I get there, is great for both of us, and so that I can remind myself this needs to happen. This is what we want to happen. And so in the same way that he's going through this phase and, you know, attached to me and clingy to me because he's about to be independent and learn to walk, I'm like, okay, I'm doing this thing, and going back to work is a challenge in itself. And so working part-time, it's really good for me to remind myself, like, oh yeah, like, get over yourself. He needs you. So, like, make this work. Don't forget to breathe and relax, and it's all going to work out, you know, and it's going to keep on doing that. And so I have to remember the benefits of that so that we grow and go through this transition and all the rest of them
together.
I think there's also a misunderstanding is in the how an older child or a toddler nurses. I've asked over the past few months, we'll talk about it with somebody and say, well, what do you think of when you think of a 18-month-old or a 2-year-old nursing? And somebody immediately goes, well, don't babies nurse like every 2 to 3 hours? Mm-hmm. And so they're thinking of a newborn who nurses every 2 to 3 hours, and they're going, wow, a 2-year-old who's nursing every 2 to 3 hours. It's a total different nursing, you know, at that point. And some toddlers may nurse several times a day, some may only nurse once or twice a day. So it's nothing like a newborn or even a 6-month-old. They're eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner and snacks with you at the dinner table. And so it's a total different type of experience. And so I think for that reason, when they're thinking these toddlers are nursing every 2 hours, well, of course they're going to be real clingy. No, it's the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I think also, like Veronica was saying, when you have a sick child who they may not be eating much otherwise. I mean, think about when we're sick, the last thing I want to do is sit down and have some, you know, a big dinner. And so at that point, the baby might be nursing more frequently than she would have if she was feeling right. better. But at least then you know you're providing her with some nutrition. You're providing her with electrolytes. You're providing her with not only cuddles, but also to make sure that she stays hydrated, which is something that is really hard to hydrate a child with a cup or a bottle sometimes if they're not feeling so well. But where breastfeeding is that comfort part as well. And so it's great for when your kids are sick.
That was one of the things that I saw as being a plus, too, was somewhere I read about breast milk filling nutritional gaps that your toddler has. And so even on the days when she's not sick, I feel like this is the perfect liquid that my body has made for her to, I know what she eats. And some days she's huge appetite and some days she just really doesn't. And so I feel like this is something that I'm doing for her to make sure that she's getting everything that she needs when she doesn't always want to eat. So I like that aspect of it too.
Absolutely. All right. When we come back, we'll discuss the health benefits for the mom who nurses longer than a year, as well as ways to deal with possible criticisms. We'll be right back. All right. Well, we're back. And we'd like to now kind of talk about what are the benefits for the mom who breastfeeds the baby past a year old, and also ways to deal with possible criticism. So, Rose, what have you found in your research or in your training about what are the health benefits for the not only the baby but for the mom who breastfeeds past a year?
There's actually many benefits, and this is an area that a lot of people don't think about because they only think that we're thinking about the baby. But extending nursing, you know, longer nursing can actually help to delay the return of fertility in some women by suppressing ovulation. That's not saying breastfeeding will prevent pregnancy, but in many situations, in fact, breastfeeding has probably been the largest birth control method worldwide, just simply because worldwide women nurse their babies exclusively for long periods of time, and it prevents them from ovulating. Studies are showing that it reduces the incidence of breast cancer, ovarian cancer, many of the reproductive cancers that are much less. Breastfeeding protects women against osteoporosis, so that instead of having weaker bones, you actually can have stronger bones. Mm-hmm. Mothers that have diabetes, they find that they require less insulin because their body seems to work better during the lactation phase. Women do have a tendency to lose weight more. You can use up 250 to 500 calories a day just making milk when you're nursing longer, whereas the bottle-fed mom is going to have to swim 30 minutes or go up and down the steps for an hour to use those calories, and you just sit and relax and nurse your baby. Something that caught my eye on the internet, it says breastfeeding does have side effects. And I thought, what?
Well, I just saw that.
You know, I had to click on that. It's like, what are they talking about? Well, it was a woman's story about her history of low self-esteem. She had a cesarean. She breastfed her first son, and she breastfed her second. And she said in the long run, she ended up having a much higher self-esteem because of what she was able to do. We do know that some of the studies have shown that teens that breastfeed their babies actually have higher self-esteem because of what you are able to do. And women have said, wow, my body has not only given birth to this baby, but I have grown this baby. I am making milk. You've read of situations that family several years ago that was stuck in the snow. She was a breastfeeding mom. And so her kids, she actually nursed both kids and was able to keep them alive in this snowstorm and stuck in the car because of the situation. So, I mean, that's got to make you feel good as a mom, because who else could do that? Moms are super moms at what they can do.
So, ladies, we do want to talk a little bit about criticisms that kind of come around, especially in the United States, about breastfeeding your baby for over a year. And because two of you have breastfed your children past 1 year, and then we also have Noreen, who's considering what's going to happen after next week. Have you received criticism from other people? Have people questioned why you would want to continue breastfeeding your babies over a year old?
I feel like a lot of the times whenever it comes up in conversation, I'll get the, oh, you're still breastfeeding? Or, oh, but he has teeth. Well, clearly he has teeth, but the content
You're like,
of,
yes, I know.
Believe me, I know.
Right.
I mean, I just tell them that, you know, the breast milk changes to meet the baby's needs, and it doesn't stop being nutritious after a year. One of my favorite things to do after I come home from working a 12-hour overnight shift is to be able to crawl in bed with my little one and cuddle and play and feed him and have that bonding time. And I mean, I feel like I wouldn't be able to get that as much maybe if I were just strictly bottle feeding.
I haven't gotten overt criticism, but I do get people asking me when I'm going to stop a lot. So I kind of take that to mean that they think that I should stop. Maybe that's just my own defenses, but I don't have an answer. I just say I plan to continue until one of us is tired of it or, I don't even want to frame it in a negative way, just until one of us decides that it's time to finish.
Or you get the questions already. And I've always gotten the questions. And it's always interesting why, I mean, the next time I should ask, well, why do you ask?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I'm going to ask next time. Sometimes husband chimes in and says, when Rex is ready or we haven't decided and stuff. And so it's really nice to have that support, you know, from whether it's your husband or your mother-in-law or your mother, whatever your decision is.
There's definitely criticism in the United States. There's a lot of judgment around breastfeeding. One, should you do it? Should you not? How long? The people that have these opinions, many of them are adamant about it.
Absolutely.
But I find that a lot of the people that have these judgments or these opinions, it's based out of not having the accurate information. And society in general, in our culture, does not have the best or the most accurate information, the most up-to-date information about breastfeeding. And I think if everyone was armed with those facts, we would see a total different picture. Because you go to some other cultures where breastfeeding is the norm. You could sit on the beach, mom's topless, and toddler comes up and nurse, and it's no big deal. Breasts in our society are sexual objects. And if it's a tiny little baby, well, that's okay. But if it's somebody who's running around talking and can smile with teeth and eat food with a spoon and a fork, well, they should not be doing that.
I'm going to teach my kid not to smile with teeth. Don't smile with your teeth. Just close your mouth and smile.
And I don't know if you saw, there was a T-shirt that said, still breastfeeding, still none of your business. And so I think different ways of handling criticism, science is on your side. There's a lot of information, a lot of research that says breastfeeding the older child has so many more benefits. The world opinion is on your side. The World Health Organization recommends mother breastfeed up to 3 years. And you can always blame it on your doctor. You can always say, well, my doctor says it's best for me. It's better for your health. And then let your child show the naysayers by proving that he is a well-adjusted, happy, healthy baby.
Rose, do you feel that pregnancy impacts your recommendation for breastfeeding moms to breastfeed past a year?
Is a yes and no answer okay?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. That's what I like about this show. We want the yes and no
yes
answers.
And no. Worldwide, women, the fact that they are nursing longer, but worldwide, many women nurse through pregnancy. In our society, I do find that many women are encouraged to quit. I just talked to a mom recently who was told she needed to quit. And she was told the reason for it's because the nutrition of you as a pregnant woman, the nutrition of your growing baby, and the nutrition of the toddler. Well, we can fix all of that. We can make sure you're getting adequate nutrition for the pregnancy, for the growing baby, and for the toddler. Many women don't stop breastfeeding. And then they just don't bother to tell the doctor they're still doing it. So are there potential risks? Yes, there are. If a woman has a high-risk pregnancy, if she's had previous preterm labors, she's more at risk for preterm labor. And the hormones of pregnancy, I mean the hormones of lactation, the oxytocin, which causes the milk to eject or let down, that also causes contractions. So if a woman, and I get this call frequently, you know, should I quit? And if she's healthy, normal, no complications from previous pregnancies, no risk factors with this pregnancy, then she probably doesn't need to. But if she's had history of problems, if she's carrying twins, if she's got a placenta that's low, and she's very high risk for preterm labor, then maybe she might need to quit because we don't want this baby to be born early. Women who do continue to nurse throughout pregnancy, many of them go on to do what we call tandem nurse, which, again, most pediatricians and obstetricians don't know that they're doing it because they've already been told to quit, and it's just easier not to tell them. But I think we need to let them know because I want the physicians to know this is happening more often. It's very common, and it's very normal.
Do you feel that there's a cutoff point for breastfeeding? I mean, I guess that kind of gets into a personal type of opinion on that. But can a mom breastfeed for too long? And I get open it up not only to Rose, but
that I think is a great question. I know when I had my second one, I was a brand new lactation consultant, and I remember saying to my husband, "You know what? I'd never nurse longer than a year and a half." Well, unfortunately, my second one decided she didn't want to nurse, and she only nursed a few weeks, and I was what I have referred to as a closet bottle feeder. Well, when I had my last one, who is now 18, and I don't always publicize this because people kind of look at me funny, is she breastfed till 4. Mm-hmm. And scientific research done by Dr. Detweiler shows that 2.5 to 7 years is what nursing children have been designed to do. But it's a very personal decision. I think 2 to 3 years is very normal and common. Culture plays a role. You know, what culture you live in will play a big role. But yes, it is a personal decision. Would I nurse a 7-year-old? I don't know. Probably not in my society. But right. Was I happy nursing my 4-year-old? Absolutely. And the benefits were beyond, you know, belief. She had sinus issues, and when we weaned within 3 months, she tripled her ear infections. So I would have gladly gone back to breastfeeding. So I think that one feeding, that one snack a day that she did, you know, for the last 2 years really helped keep her more healthy. So, but I think, again, if moms knew the benefits to the child, the benefits to them, and that it is normal to do this, more women would do it. We do have a hard time when our husbands look at us funny, our mother-in-laws look at us funny, or strangers go, "You're doing that." I breastfed when my daughter was 2, we were at Disneyland, and it was on the tram. And did people look? I'm sure they did. Did I care? No, I didn't, because my daughter was tired, and she had fallen, and she needed comforting. Yeah. So,
how about you guys? Do you think that there's a point, essentially, a mom is breastfed for too long?
I feel like that's such a personal issue. I would never want to associate a number, because I think it's different for every family, and especially for every child. I don't have a number in mind for myself. I'm just going to keep doing it for as long as we both want to. And I mean, I guess if I had to put a number, I'd say around 3 or 4.
For yourself?
For myself. And then I think maybe I would probably be done. But I mean, like I said, it's something that we share together, and it's more of like a snack and comfort thing now. So, I mean, it doesn't interfere with my life at all. So why stop?
Everybody does their research about things. And so I knew that worldwide 4 is the most common age. And it only makes sense because usually what we do is to socialize. And so the reason why everybody elsewhere breastfeeds until they're age 4 is because that's when universally everybody starts school. So then you wean then, because now you're in a different social environment, and the children make decisions and so forth. And so if I'm a stay-at-home mom, or if I'm a mom and I decide that I'm going to breastfeed up until 4, because that's until they move on to their next, like, major socialization phase. And that only makes sense. And that's kind of the answer that I want to give people. Interestingly enough, before I became a mom, I would always say, I'm always the kind of person, like, why do you ask? And by the way, and kind of be more forthright about those things. And so as a mom, I've become a little more reserved about those responses. And so, but I do want to tell people and see their reaction. Like, you know, universally 4 years old is a more common age than the rest of the world. when they ask, you know, when are you going to stop? But like I said, I'm just comfortable knowing that I have the support of my husband, that like when the husband, you know, when the kid decides, and like, and there are these like soft rules we make, but we know that those soft rules, like, oh yeah, and then this happened and we just kept on going. And so I think it's really important to listen to the people who are involved in that relationship when you make a change. And so if the kid says we're a keep on, that's what we're doing, then that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
I think it depends a lot on your social circle, your culture. My husband's family is from Bolivia, and so he and my mother-in-law are like, go for it, take it, take it all as far as you can take it. And that's really great to have them supporting us. And but I am a part of this broader culture that we live in our community. And so I do feel like the whole thing I mentioned about kind of not really liking to breastfeed in public. And Rose, you mentioned how you don't tell people often that you breastfed until four. And it kind of makes me sad, because I think, you know, if everyone else in the world is doing it until four, maybe everyone else here is doing it until four. And we just, we're all too ashamed. Or maybe if we would kind of be, if I would be a little more brave about it, I'd find a different circle of people that I'm not so different from. So yeah, I don't have a number either. I think I'll go with your number, since we're in a circle. Yeah.
I think what's exciting about talking about the benefits, one of the things my husband's most proud of is my baby's never been sick. And my husband and I were both very sickly growing up. We both had asthma, allergies. I had eczema, atopic dermatitis, all kinds of things. And knowing that our child so far isn't allergic to anything, and I don't even know the age when they get allergic to things, being a parent is stressful enough. My child's never been sick. So I don't know what it's going to be like when he gets sick. And like you said, Rose, if I just keep on doing it, he's not going to get sick. And I kind of like my body losing weight. So if that's just the way it's going to be, so I can be as fabulous as I plan to be, then we're good. Maybe seven.
And that's one of the things that some of the research is showing, is if you have a family history of allergies, asthma, breastfeeding can make an impact on that. The other thing I wanted to mention is some women that have nursed longer have been accused of doing it for selfish reasons. Have you ever tried to force a two-year-old to nurse?
If
that child does not want to nurse, he is not going to nurse. And so you have mother-led weaning and you have baby-led weaning. If the child does not want to nurse, you cannot make him nurse. So for the mom to be accused of doing it for her selfish reasons, that's not true. Because if the child doesn't want to, he doesn't want to. The other issue is we don't see some of the same comments if you see a one-year-old or a two-year-old sitting in the restaurant taking a bottle. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of not fair, so to speak, is that if I'm going to be criticized for breastfeeding in public in a restaurant for a one- or a two-year-old, isn't it rightly so that I can complain that the mom two tables over is bottle feeding in public? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you don't hear the same comments regarding the bottle feeding, because in our society, bottle feeding is the norm, and it should be the other way around. Breastfeeding should be the norm.
Absolutely.
Or if you were to give your child medicine, and, you know, breast milk is the best medicine, the best preventative measure, I'll say. If you were to give your child medicine, no one would say anything. But if you're giving your child breast milk, people kind of get a little testy about that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Rose, for offering your insight into the benefits of breastfeeding past 1 year.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much.
Before we wrap things up, here's Wendy Wright talking about breastfeeding tips for the working mom.
Hi, Boob Group listeners. I'm Wendy Wright, an internationally board-certified lactation consultant and owner of Lactation Navigation in Palo Alto, California. I'm here to answer some of your most common questions about returning to work as a breastfeeding mother, such as, what are the rules for milk storage? Milk storage is a difficult concept. We pump during the day, and then we need to store our milk in order to provide it the next day for our infants. Let me summarize a general guideline for milk storage. Room temperature milk can be stored for up to 10 hours at room temperature. Milk is very, very stable. If you know you're going to be near a refrigerator, if you have refrigeration available, of course that's a better alternative than room temperature. However, sometimes on the work site, refrigeration is not available. Maybe you forgot your ice pack that day. I just want you to know that it will be stable for up to 10 hours, so you'll not have to throw it away throughout the day as you pump. I also would like to let you know that in the refrigerator, milk can be kept up to 8 days. Again, if we know we're going to freeze it soon, let's get it in the freezer right away. But if you find a bottle of milk in your refrigerator that's 3 or 4 days old, feel 100% certain that you can absolutely feed that to your baby. Room temperature, 10 hours, refrigeration, 8 days, and then in the freezer, up 3 to 4 months. So keep in mind, we avoid storing our milk in the door of the freezer and try to have it back in the center where the temperature varies less and where it is colder. And again, 3 to 4 months, all bags should be labeled with the Sharpie date of pumping, and that way you'll know exactly when that milk is expired. Containers to use for milk storage can be plastic or glass. They can be hard-sided or soft-sided, well-fitting tops, or the freezer milk bags are excellent, offered by many different brands. It's best to freeze milk flat in the bottom of your freezer, and then you can stand it up like a deck of cards, and it will take a lot less space in each of your freezer or refrigerator areas. In order to warm milk, simply thaw or warm it under running water. Swirl gently to combine the low-fat and the high-fat milk. And remember, never use a microwave on breast milk. The last thing I'd like to mention is a storage schedule that you can work in to your daily pumping routine. For example, Sunday night, pull milk out of the freezer and thaw it overnight for a baby to drink on Monday when you're not together. Monday, pump milk to provide to the baby on Tuesday by simply refrigerating overnight. Tuesday's milk that is pumped feeds the baby on Wednesday. Wednesday's milk feeds baby on Thursday. Thursday's milk feeds baby on Friday. And then Friday's milk is brought home, packaged and frozen, breastfeed all weekend directly from the breast. And then again, Sunday night, you can take your oldest milk out of your freezer and provide it for the baby on Monday morning. This way, baby's only receiving frozen milk once a week. Fresh is best, if at all possible. And we're not only rotating our refrigerator, but our freezer supply. Also need to mention that once milk is thawed from the freezer, it can be refrigerated for up to 24 hours and must be consumed within 24 hours, otherwise it should be discarded. I hope you found that helpful. Thanks so much for listening. Visit www.lactationnav.com for more great information about my business, Lactation Navigation. And be sure to listen to the Boob Group for fantastic conversations about breastfeeding and breastfeeding support.
Thank you to all of our listeners. I hope you'll visit our website, theboobgroup.com, and our Facebook page to offer your story describing your experience with breastfeeding your child past infancy. If you have any questions about today's show or the topics we discussed, call our Boob Group hotline at 619-866-4775, and we'll answer your question on an upcoming episode. If you have a breastfeeding topic you'd like to suggest, we'd love to hear it. Simply visit our website at theboobgroup.com and send us an email through the contact link. Coming up next week, we'll be discussing partial breastfeeding when supplements other than breast milk are needed. Thank you for listening to The Boob Group, because mothers know breast.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.